What I'd like to share with you today comes from a shiur that was given by Rav Aaron Lichtenstein a number of years ago. The Megillah is a story of the Jewish people. It's something that happens to Klal Yisrael. But the Megillah is also the story of Esther, the individual. There's an amazing passage in the Gemara. The Gemara says, Amr Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda. Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda says, Sholcha lehem Esther l'chachamim. Esther sent a message to the chachamim of her time, and she said, Kiva'uni l'doros. Establish me for generations. Now, what she meant to say is, establish Purim and establish my story for generations. But her words are, establish me. There's something about the personal story of Esther that she wanted to convey as a parallel track to the story of what's happening to the Jewish people. And when we read the Megillah every year, we are fulfilling Esther's request to tell her story. And that's the reason we call it Megillas Esther. It's not called Megillas Purim, it's called Megillas Esther. It is, whatever else it is, it's also Esther's personal story. And therefore, we need to pay attention to her character and to her growth and development through the story, in addition to understanding what it is that is happening to Klal Yisrael. And again, I would say that the Megillah operates on these two levels, the national and the personal, in a parallel track, and I want to pay attention to the personal today. And that is, there is a very clear shift in Esther's personality. There's a very clear growth in her character. Esther, at the beginning of the story, is not the same person as Esther at the end of the story. And that's the story that Esther wants us to learn. And that story, I will suggest to you, Rav Lichtenstein suggests to you, is what Esther wants us to learn for our own lives, what she herself learned within her life. At the beginning of the Megillah, Esther is presented to us as a beautiful woman who lacks any type of power, initiative, or independence. If you take a look, I'm going to quote from Perek Beis, and I'm going to skip around, and I'll translate as we go along. Perek Beis, Pasuk Zion. Mordechai raises Esther. Vayhi onein es hadasa, hi Esther bas dodo, ki ein la avaim, v'hanara yifas tor v'tavas marea. So that's it. She's beautiful. She's beautiful, and she is protected, raised, guarded by Mordechai. Next pasuk. So after Ahasuerus has executed his queen Vashti, he searches for another queen. Pasuk Ches. Vayhi b'hishamat dvar ha-melech b'daso, etc., etc. Vatilokach Esther el beis ha-melech. Esther is taken. That word vatilokach is very important. That passive form of the word. And if you look through this chapter, and really the whole beginning, you see over and over again these passive verbs. She was taken. This same word occurs several times. So here, she's taken by Haggai. So first she's under the protection of Mordechai, and now she's under the protection of Haggai. And whatever these people tell her, that's what she does. Pasuk Yud. Lo higida Esther es ama ves molarata. Now we understand on the national level how that's going to play out in terms of the story of knowing her identity. But on the personal level of a person who doesn't have any identity, a person who you don't know where they're from, you don't know what kind of a person they are, you don't know what they're like, they're just kind of a very shy, quiet, unknown personality. There is no personality that comes through. Pasuk Tezvav. Ubagiatar Esther Basarichael, etc., etc. Lo viksha davar, when the time comes for her to come before the king, this is the grand dramatic moment when she's going to appear before Ahasuerus, she doesn't ask for anything. Again, she does not assert herself. There's no initiative. There's no personality. She doesn't bring anything with her. Simply, ki im es asher yomar Haggai siris ha-melech shema anashim, whatever Haggai says to her. That is, she is only a reflection of those people around her. There is nothing of her in that personality. Next pasuk. Batila kach Esther la-melech. Again, same word. And she is taken to the king. So now we find the third person who is overshadowing her life. Now Ahasuerus is going to tell her what to do, and she is going to be passive and simply go along with whatever is suggested to her. Again, Ein Esther Mageres Molarita, she doesn't say where she's from, she doesn't say where she's come from, she doesn't say who her people are, she remains an unknown personality. The Gemara says, Esther Minatora Minayan. Where is the biblical hint or reference to the later story of Esther? And the Gemara says, based on the pasuk in Devarim, on that day, Anochi Hastir Aster Ponai Beyom Ahu, on that day Hashem says, I will hide my face. So again, on the national level, we understand that the story of Purim is the story of Hester Ponim. Hashem's name is not mentioned in the Megillah. But on the personal level, that's Esther's personality of being hidden, of being not revealed. Even in terms of the physical relationship that Esther has with Ahasuerus, the Talmud tells us this amazing phrase, Esther karka olam hi. That is, the Gemara asks, well, after all is said and done, how could Esther have had relations with Ahasuerus, a non-Jewish person? So the Gemara says, well, she was passive. Now, again, in a technical, legal sense, it means one thing, but even in a personality sense, that adds something to showing us there is nothing of her character, there is nothing of her initiative or will that we see anywhere in the beginning of the Megillah. And then we meet a completely different person. If you look, please, ahead to Perek Hey, on the next page. Once the danger is there, and once the strategy is developed, we then meet a completely different woman. Perek Hey, Pasuk Hey, by Yomer HaMelech, Maharu es Haman lasos es Dvar Esther. So all of a sudden, you have this pasuk where Ahasuerus is telling Haman to do whatever Esther says. Now that pasuk is so diametrically opposite everything that we knew about her character. She never spoke up to anybody. She never told anybody what to do. And now she's telling Ahasuerus what to do. And she's telling Haman what to do. She is able to figure out a strategy of leading Haman into this trap. Pasuk Yud Beis, by Yomer Haman, when Haman comes home after the first day's seuda with Esther and Ahasuerus, by Yomer Haman, aflo hevia Esther amalka mamelech el amishter asher asa ki imosi. Right? Haman is tricked. Haman falls for it. Haman is manipulated by Esther. He thinks that he's so special, and of course we know he's just being set up to take a fall. And Esther is able to figure out this remarkable manipulative strategy. And again, you look back at the beginning, and there's nothing in her character from the beginning of the story that would give you any indication that Esther is capable of such a plan. Not only does she manipulate Haman, she manipulates Ahasuerus, and he says to her more than one time, whatever you want, I'll do. She demonstrates this confidence and this courage, and she becomes a personality. In the second half of the story, we clearly see a strong, courageous, leader who has taken a tremendous amount of leadership, so much so that certainly by the end of the story, her personality overshadows, in many ways, overshadows Mordechai's. You see, I know I'm skipping around, but if you go back, few psukim, Perek Dalet, Pasuk Yud Zayin, Vayavor Mordechai, Vayas Kechol Asher Tzivsa Olav Esther. Amazing. It's an amazing reversal, where now Esther is instructing Mordechai, and Mordechai is answering. And in fact, she becomes even more dominant as we move along. Next pasuk. Vayhi bayom ha-shlishi, this is Perek Hei, pasuk Aleph. Batil bash Esther Malchus. And I mean, it takes tremendous courage, because remember, she's the one that said, you're not allowed to go to the king without being called first. And yet, she stands and she holds herself high and she brings herself to Achashverosh. And Pasuk Beis, Vayhi kiros ha-melech es Esther ha-malcho, Nasa chein be'enav. And she comes and she's able to accomplish what she herself said she couldn't accomplish. She herself said earlier, you can't go to the king if you haven't been invited, and I haven't been invited. And she herself is able to find the courage and the heroism and the confidence to be able to dress herself up and stand up tall and come before Ahasuerus. And then, once we come to the end of the story, it becomes even more dramatically clear. Look, please, at Perek Tes. First Perek Tes, Pasuk Chaf, near the end. By Yichtov Mordechai es Hadvarim Ha'ele. And Mordechai writes down all of these things. That's the story of Purim. By Yishlach Svarim Al-Kol Ha'Yehudim. Asher B'chol Minoros HaMelech Achashverosh. Next pasuk, l'kayim aleihem lios osimis yom abo asar, kayom asher nachu, right? Mordechai sends the story and the instructions to the entire Jewish people. Clear? Look, please, at the next down, pasuk chavtes, and tell me what's happening in pasuk chavtes. Vatichtov Esther Hamalka bas Avichayil, u'Mordechai ha-Yehudi es kol tokef. And Esther and Mordechai write down everything that happened. L'kayem es higeres ha-purim hazos ha-shenis. In order to ratify for a second time this Purim story. What's going on? What happened? Who wrote the story? One pasuk says that Mordechai wrote it. One pasuk says that Esther and Mordechai wrote it. How do you resolve the contradiction? So Gemara says, one way to understand it is, Mordechai wrote the story. He sent it to everybody. He said, we have to have a yuntif. And nobody listened. And then, they realized they didn't catch on, so Esther and Mordechai wrote the story and sent out the letters. And that was established. It is not only within the context of the narrative, but even within the context of making it into a Yom Tov, it's only Esther's involvement that makes it into an observed Yom Tov L'doros. And that's and she is the one that says to the Chachamim, that's the statement of the Gemara, Kiva'uni L'doros, establish me for generations. She doesn't say establish Mordechai for generations. Establish me, and that's what the Chachamim do. So she becomes this personality that even overshadows Mordechai himself. And look at Pasuk Lamed Beis. Umamar Esther Kiyam Divrei HaPurim Ho'ele V'nichta V'Sefer. Remarkable. Who wrote it? Well, the first time Mordechai wrote it. Second time Mordechai and Esther wrote it. But who did they listen to? Umamar Esther Kiyam. The words of Esther, the Jewish people fulfill with the words of this Purim story, and it's written in the Sefer. So what happened? What's the shift? What changed so drastically within Esther to cause this difference in personality. And there's one pasuk that is the key to the entire story of Esther's development, and it is also the key to the entire story of Purim. When Haman's decree is made known, the Megillah tells us that Jews everywhere are saddened, are very distressed. And the Megillah tells us that Esther also is very distressed. Perek Dalet, Pasuk Gimel. Well, start at the beginning of Perek Dalet. Mordechai yodas kol asher nasa. Mordechai knows what happened, and he goes into mourning, and he puts on sackcloth and ashes, and sits on the ground as if he is in Avelus, because he is in Avelus, over this terrible decree. And Pasuk Gimel B'chol Medina Medina Makom Asher Dvar HaMelech V'Desamakia Eivel Gadol Yehudim. The Jews are in Avelus. The Jews are in absolute terror over what's going to happen. Vatavona Pasuk Dalet Vatavona Naras Esther V'Sarisel V'Agidula. So then they come and they tell Esther. So now this is the first time Esther's hearing, presumably, what it is that's happening. And the queen is very distressed. Okay, we would understand that she's very distressed. But listen to her reaction. She sends clothing, proper clothing, for Mordechai to get dressed. Wait a second. Hold on. Mordechai is in Avelus. Mordechai is sitting on the ground. And Esther's response is, don't make such a spectacle of yourself. You know, don't, you know, get dressed like a normal person. You look like a schlepper. Get dressed up like a normal person. And we'll deal with this rationally. But don't, you know, you don't have to be so extreme. The entire Jewish world is in Avelus. And Esther says, you know, you should dress nicer. Look down at Pasuk Yud. Vatomer Esther la'asok, vatzaveil Mordechai. And they go back and forth. And then Esther sends another message to Esther, to Mordechai. She says, Kodei HaMelech, everyone knows, you can't go in. V'hoi ani l'ani gracie l'vol HaMelech. There's nothing I can do. There's nothing to do. But as I understand, it's very bad. I understand that you're upset. But don't be so extreme. Change your clothes, look like a mensch, there's nothing to do about it. And I would suggest, Rav Lichtenstein suggests, that is perfectly understandable given Esther's prior personality. She has very little will. She feels powerless to do anything. It is a force that is completely overwhelming to her ability, which is understandable, especially if you've got another person that has no initiative, no leadership, no personality. And it's completely overwhelming. And she is completely overwhelmed. That's it. There's nothing to do. And then Mordechai sends her a message. A criticism. And it is a terrible, terrible criticism. And I think the only way you can understand this criticism is to recognize that Mordechai must know Esther better than anyone else in the world, but that also means that he knows her weak personality. And you have to think to yourself that Mordechai's got to know that Esther is going to feel overwhelmed by what's going on around her. Now, before we look at the pasuk, we might have expected Mordechai to say something along the following lines. Again, Mordechai knows Esther. Mordechai realizes Esther is overwhelmed. So we might expect Mordechai to say to Esther, listen, Esther, I know that you feel weak. I know that you feel overwhelmed. But now's the time when you have to not be so weak. Now's the time when you gotta buck up, you gotta be a hero. It's up to you. You have to overcome your intrinsic personality. Now's the time you have to step up to the plate. That, I think, is what we would have expected to hear from Mordechai. And so what if it's dangerous to go to the king? And so what if you're shy to go to the king? So you have to overcome your shyness, take a deep breath, focus. It's time to overcome your feelings, and you've got to go do it even though it's hard. Now, if Mordechai would have said that, number one, it would have made sense based on Esther's personality and Mordechai and Esther's relationship. And number two, it would have put Esther in a relatively positive light. Because whatever Esther would have done, we would have said, listen, you know, I mean, it's understandable that she doesn't have the courage to go face the king because she's never demonstrated any courage or initiative up until now. It's understandable. Yeah, you would have wished. You would have wished that at that moment there would have been a stronger personality available to save the Jewish people, but at least it's understandable that if there's a person who doesn't have the ability, that they don't have the ability. It would have at least put her in a relatively positive light. And she would have been able to defend herself by saying, but I am weak. I am afraid. I do lack courage. I've never had that courage. That's not what Mordechai says. And what he does say is something that puts Esther in a much more negative light. And again, I don't think there's anyone except Mordechai that could have said this to Esther. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Perek Dalet, Pasuk Yud Gimel. Vayomer Mordechai lo Ashiv el Esther. And Mordechai sends a message back to Esther, and this is a frightening, frightening message. Al tadami b'nafsheich lihimolei beis hamelech mikol hayehudim. Don't think that if the Jews are killed, that you will be saved. Because if the Jews are killed, and all the Jews are going to be killed by Haman, don't think that because you're the queen, and you're in Ahasuerus's house, that he's going to protect you. If the Jews are in danger, you're also in danger. Now, what does that mean? But listen to what the criticism is. He is accusing her, not of being weak, but he's saying to her, you don't care. You don't think this affects you. You think that you're safe. Klal Yisrael's in trouble. It's very bad. Batischalchal hamalka ma'od. She's very upset. We're very upset about, you know, potholes in Montreal. We're very, very upset about all kinds of things. But it's not me personally that's in danger. And so therefore, all right, I'm very upset. What? But Mordechai says, it's not that you're weak. It's that you don't care enough. You don't think it's going to happen to you. So Mordechai says to her, you're making a mistake. It really is going to happen to you. But let's just focus on the criticism, because the criticism is so strong and so frightening. He says to her, you're apathetic. You really just don't care. It's not that you can't do anything. You don't care. You think that you're going to be okay. And therefore, because if you realize that you personally were in danger, so what about etiquette? So what about how you're dressed? If your life is in danger, literally at this moment, you're not focused on how somebody's dressed. You're not focused on, well, the rules are, I'm not supposed to go in because I wasn't invited. If your life is in danger, that's not the response. Your response indicates that you are dealing with this problem as if it's happening to someone else. In other words, you don't have the feeling, you don't have the necessary feeling that if there is a danger to any part of Klal Yisrael, it is your personal danger. It's not somebody else. But since you personally feel safe, but you're very worried, so now you don't have anything to do. You don't know what to do. Pasuk Yudalid. And he says to her, Kiim hacharesh tacharishi beis hazos. This is your test, Esther. This is the moment. Not this is the moment to whether you can step up the plate and be heroic and be courageous. That's not the issue. This is the moment when you are being tested. Do you care about Klal Yisrael? Does the danger of any Jew anywhere affect you exactly the same as if it is your danger? That's the test. And ki imachareish tacharishi, if you're quiet now, so revach vatzala yamo layhudim makam acher, Hashem will find another way to help the Jewish people. But v'at u'bezavich tovedu, you're going to be lost. It's your test. Because you will have demonstrated that you are a person not that lacks the ability, but that lacks the will. That's the test. And that test is just one simple question. Do I care? Do I care like it's me? What is absolutely amazing, and what makes this the story of Esther and not lots of other stories, is how at that single moment, Esther rises to her full height, and she becomes Esther Hamalka. That's the next pasuk. Vatomer Esther Lashiv El Mordechai, pasuk Tes Zayin, Lech Kenos Eskol HaYehudim, go and gather together all the Jews. And she develops this strategy. It's a two-part strategy, prayer, three-part prayer and fasting, and then her strategy with Achashverosh and Haman. All of a sudden, she comes up with a whole plan. Lech kenosis kol ha-Yehudim, go and gather together and make into one all of the Jews, is not only a strategy of how to be able to intercede with God. It's not only the national story, but it's also the response to Mordechai's accusation. Mordechai's accusation is, you don't care. Esther's response is, Klal Yisrael. Gather together the Jewish people. The Jewish people is one unit, is one body. That's the passing of that test. And then immediately, I'll come to in one second, and then immediately every other aspect of that plan. Again, we read it before, a couple of verses down, Pasuk Hey, Perek Hey, Pasuk Aleph. Batilbash Esther Malchus, Batamo B'chatzar Beis HaMelech, and she becomes a queen. And she dresses up and she stands up tall, and now she implements this amazing plan. There is no way that the previous Esther could have implemented such a plan. There is nothing in her background that indicates that. And in a moment, with Mordechai's frightening criticism, she becomes a different person. She realizes what she has to do. And the key is, it's not the lack of courage, and it's not the lack of a plan. If you have the will, you'll figure out the plan. She had no experience doing it. But it wasn't the lack of experience that was causing the problem. It was the lack of will. And once she decided that the will had to be there, once she agreed with what Mordechai said, then somehow the plan became clear. She becomes a new person. She becomes a queen, a leader, a personality. And from this moment, you see a very clear personality. A strong, initiative, confident, courageous personality. The Lichtenstein doesn't add this piece, but I think this is correct. Because this explains the basis of the mitzvos of Purim. It's a remarkable thing. We have four mitzvahs on Purim. There's the mitzvah to hear the Megillah. There's the mitzvah to have a Purim Seuda. There's the mitzvah to give Shalach Manos. And the mitzvah to give Matanas Levyonim. Four mitzvahs of Purim. Why are those mitzvahs applied to Purim? So, Megillah, I understand. The Megillah says, I mean, first we have a story, so you might as well read it. It's a good way to tell the story. But Esther herself said, tell my story. Kevat Ulu Vedoros, tell the story. That makes perfect sense. To have a Purim Suda makes perfect sense within the narrative of the text. First of all, because the story starts with the Suda of Achashverosh and continues with two Suudos of Haman and Achashverosh and Esther, and rejoicing out of celebrating the salvation of the story, the mitzvah of Suda makes perfect sense. What is Shalach Manas and Matanas Avyonim? Where does it come from? They're both nice things. But where does it come from the narrative? It's mentioned at the end. They say, Lishlach Manas Yisroyeu Matanas Avyonim. But where in the story does it come? See, I don't think there's any other answer. I can't figure out any other answer other than it comes from Lech Kenosis Kol HaYehudim. We are trying to relive, we are trying to reenact Esther's Lech Kenosis Kol HaYehudim, because that's the whole story. That's the whole story is in that phrase of seeing Klal Yisrael as one entity. And that means your need, not just that I respond to your need is my need. Your concern is my concern. Matanas Lavyonim, Mishloach Manas Yisroyehu. That's how we express it. There is no question that Esther wants Mordechai's challenge directed to every one of us. There are problems that surround us in life. There are problems that surround the Jewish people. There are problems of assimilation. There are problems of Jews who are distant from tradition. There are problems of Jews in physical danger in various parts of the world. And very often, we are concerned, we are distressed, we are very distressed. But, after all, what can we do? I'm just one person. What can I do? And Mordechai says to us, how much of our inaction is based on weakness? And lack of certainty into how to proceed, and a lack of judgment in what to do, and how much of it is simply based on apathy. Because if we really cared, we would find a way. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz used to say, and he used to say this every year on Yom Kippur, he used to say, if you have not lost sleep during the past year because of Jews who are distant from our tradition, what right do you have to ask Hashem for forgiveness on Yom Kippur? In each of our lives, we face the same challenge that Esther faced. And that is, not can we figure out the answer, but do we care enough? Because if we really care enough, we will find the answer. The lack of certainty and the lack of experience will not be the obstacle. The obstacle is only will. The obstacle is only apathy. If we can surmount that, then we can accomplish just about anything. And that's what we're required to remember every year. We are required to remember Esther's story. Esther's story is will.